Sin, sin, sin.
If you've been following the election on Twitter like we have, you might have come across Stilgherrian. He's a sort of a new media journalist who writes for Crikey and the ABC, but also spends a lot of his time on Twitter and writing for his own site. He's on the line now to chat a bit about broadband policy, the filter and the Twitter election. How are you going today, Stil?
Well, thank you, but kind of overwhelmed with the amount of material about the election that is happening on Twitter.
It is quite incredible. It's very hard sometimes, especially when there's a big event like the debate, to keep track of what's being said and who's saying it and where these people are coming from. Do you think that that's changing the way that this election is being reported?
Look, it is and it isn't. It's not the big game changer people imagine that it would be. It's not that people will necessarily change their views, but what's happening is people are feeling like they're participating in it. So something like the debates or Q&A on the ABC, you'll have thousands and thousands of tweets as people reinforce their views. But it won't change their view because most people are only seeing the tweets of people they follow who are going to be friends or people who think similarly to them. So really, it's reinforcing their existing beliefs rather than causing them to change their minds. So that's not about Twitter. That's just normal human behaviour.
But you said there that you find it interesting that people are able to engage and able to participate perhaps more than ever before. But, you know, as my mum always says, politics in Australia is a participation sport. You can meet your local politician at the shopping centre. They'll come and knock on your door. Like, people have always interacted with policymakers at election time. Do you think that Twitter is making that easier or more difficult, or do you think that it's maybe convincing us that we're participating in a way that we might not really be?
Look, that is the case, and for the politicians who decide to participate, it can actually work really well for them. And someone who started to do that quite well at the state level is the New South Wales Premier, Christine Keneally. Someone actually asked her recently about whether Sydney would be ready for the zombie apocalypse, and her witty reply straight away was, look, I think that's a federal matter, actually. And look, although that's silly, although, you know, in one sense that's meaningless, it just remind you that, hey, she's Premier, but she's a human being.
It's like Malcolm Turnbull tweeting about his bus trips to Bondi.
That's right, and his dogs and telling jokes and things like that. He becomes more human. And I think that's where both Julia Gillard and Tony Abbott, the two key party leaders, have both failed to use Twitter. I don't know that Tony Abbott's done anything much with it since the election campaign started, and Prime Minister Gillard's have just been, well, really links to announcements or really bland stuff like, I believe in hard workers, you know, and honest stuff, and all these motherhood statements.
Do you think that she could really sway people, seeing there must be so many people following Julia Gillard and Tony Abbott on Twitter?
Well, it is a quick way of getting a message out to people, absolutely. And these are people who are, you know, so interested in politics that they want to follow your every tweet. So, you know, they're not taking advantage of that, and that's a bit of a shame, I think.
Do you think that sometimes the people who do use Twitter heavily and who really do want to interact sometimes get a bit of a sense of self-importance about their ability to manipulate an election?
Oh, yes, I think they're a bit special. I'm perhaps amongst that too, because I'm one of the heaviest users of Twitter in the country. But, yeah, you feel that because you can just walk up to anyone, metaphorically, and just say something to them and feel like you should get a response, even if you don't. I mean, how could Kevin Rudd have ever done that with a million followers on Twitter or whatever it was, half a million? Yes, there is a sense of, hey, I'm really connected. I'm at the leading edge. I'm one of the special people who gets the live internet and you don't, so I'm more important. And I think, you know, the Twitter users are still a small minority of the people using the internet in the country. Maybe they always will be, maybe not. But certainly, for the moment, they're a small minority. And they're skewed very heavily to people who are either really into the technology or really into the media, journalism, public relations, and so on, you know, and natural communicators. So they're not a representative sample of the Australian people. So to think that people on Twitter, say, X. Well, yeah, but that's, you know, that's only of the people on Twitter. And, Australia's a lot broader than that. We've got an awful, a lot of different kinds of people in this country.
You work with a couple of other news organisations. You've been on Twitter for a while, but have you seen in the last little while a real shift towards professional journos using Twitter in their professional work? And do you think maybe that helps disseminate information during elections?
Oh, absolutely. And someone who does it so well is Latika Burke. She's the political journalist for the Fairfax group of radio stations, which includes 3AW in Melbourne. And she's great because she is tweeting during press conferences, making observations. Sometimes I wonder whether a little bit too sarcastically, if she's trying to maintain her neutrality as a journalist. And someone who took to Twitter incredibly well, Laurie Oakes, the sphere of influence himself, the great Channel 9's great political commentator. He's relatively new to Twitter, but gets it straight away. He's involved in conversations. He's making observations about what he's seeing. And I think that's helping to shape people's perceptions of what's happening in politics much faster and often more effectively, I think, than waiting for, the report in the 6 o'clock news, which tends to be a more formula-driven thing.
Do you think it kind of encourages people to only look at policy or announcements in 140 characters or less, rather than the actual looking into what it means?
Oh, absolutely. It all becomes about slogans, and if people are criticising the policy, it all becomes about who can make the smartest smart-ass comment, really. Who can be funniest? And look, I'm guilty of this too. We're all doing it. And, for example, this week we had the announcement of the Coalition's broadband policy. We had Labor's response. We're talking complex stuff. The Coalition policy, such that it is 19 pages. That's actually really short for a policy like that. But you don't see the one-page reports. You see 140 sarcastic characters, and that sums it up. And again, we're more worried about, does Tony Abbott understand the technicalities of it, rather than, is it a good policy or not?
So that's a bit of a final thought. I know you've written quite a lot about the internet filter, and obviously it's a big issue across Twitter. It's populated by geeks. Of course they care about the filter. But I think you've said before that there can be a strange sense of entitlement among those who write on Twitter, this sense that if enough people on Twitter say the same thing, then we'll have this effect on policy, we'll have this change put into place. Do you think that sometimes can, I don't know, denigrate the other good stuff that is being written on Twitter?
Look, all right. I mean, I have mixed views on all this. Yes, the filter's an important issue. Yes, there is a very loud and vocal minority of people.
Is it as important as people on Twitter think it is?
Look, it is an important issue, but the question then becomes important to the voters. And if someone is, a plumber, a tradesperson with a young family struggling to meet mortgage payments, abstract conversations about freedom of speech don't really mean very much. They're more worried about can they afford to pay the bills if, they lose their job or interest rates go up and so on. And they're more worried about, they'll look at something like broadband policy and go, Labor's national broadband network, well, I'm happy with the internet for now. And that's billions of dollars that they see as wasteful. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, democracy is all about people having their say. And sure, if there's a lot of people who feel a certain way, they should make that message known. But going on about it on Twitter or blog posts or whatever it might be, that doesn't actually change policy. What requires policy to change is for the politicians to feel that they might, lose votes at the election, particularly in a marginal seat. And I've had several experienced political staffers tell me that politicians, the current generation of politicians, really don't care about thousands of tweets, but if they got just six letters on paper in the post from people in their electorate who said, hey, I care about this and I will change my vote, just six letters, they'll start to panic.
How 20th century of them?
How very 19th century.